No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith, who is in the studio and also connected via the web. We have Captain Dennis. So we have kind of a full crew. We got started a little bit late. Not really. I mean, we made it by broadcast time, but literally, Keith literally just ran into the studio at the last minute. Yeah. Do we need to put you, hook you up to a, AD something, one of those electronic things, and shock you back to health?
No, I just need an oxygen tank. That's all.
Okay. So we're going to put Keith on oxygen because we're obviously cruising through the latest aviation news and information above 10,000 feet.
12.5, actually.
12.5. That's what I said, I think.
or we were at nighttime, one of the two.
Yes, it's one of those. Okay, yeah. So anyway, we'll manage. The reason he was running late and out of breath is because he literally ran right over from the bank. And Keith, I don't know, was this a problem with your credit card limit and me, taking liberties that maybe I shouldn't have?
Actually, no.
No.
Not this
good.
Time.
Thank God.
Not this time.
So it isn't an emergency.
No.
I was just starting to worry because there's a lot of stuff I still need to purchase.
I have other things in play for that. It's okay. Not going to be the bank.
Okay.
Guido.
I have friends.
There's going to be people showing up in black suits.
Yes, I know people.
All right. Well, fair enough. As long as there's no emergency in that regard. But you were actually at the bank signing papers on a new airplane. Is that what was happening or what?
Well, it's not a new airplane.
What, new airplane
for
you?
It's new to you. But yes, we're adding to our fleet again. And so we added another 172 with a G1000 in it.
All right.
And this one is ADS-B in and out, equipped already.
How about
so
that?
It'll be
good to go. It'll be a good training machine.
It will be.
Yeah, but it might be a plane I need to do some training in eventually, you think?
Well, maybe if you ever get back into it.
Yes, I'm going to. Actually, next week is going to be a big week in that regard.
Oh yeah, how's that? Yeah.
Well, I'm going through a stress test on Monday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So as long as I get the green light from Dr. Doug, then it's off to the races. It's off to that 172 and see if I can.
I mean, Ed hasn't put you through enough stress that you have to go have a stress test.
Well, yeah. Why do you think I'm going Monday? And I made sure he wasn't going to be here today. So I could get through the test just fine.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got the calming voice of Captain Keith to soothe any stressful.
Keep the stress levels down.
Yeah, he's a very mellow guy, and you hear it in his voice. He has a calming effect. It's like meditation when you listen to Keith.
It puts kids to sleep very quickly.
Well, okay, if you say so.
Probably our listening audience.
Yeah, I don't really want to fall asleep. I just wanted to kind of take the edge off. But yeah, I think it'll go fine. So next week, big week, I got to get through that. And then it's let's start doing all the paperwork and get back into the cockpit. So
about another four to six months, you'll be able to get back in the cockpit.
No, it could be literally weeks. It's days.
Well, it could be.
We could start counting the hours. The number would be so low now, I think. But I digress. We'll save that for next week. Let's talk about this new plane that I might be able to take out of service in no time.
Well, that may be why we don't want you to fly it.
Well, I was going to say, you didn't tell the bank people that, did you?
No.
There's this guy.
We have limitations of who we can and can't fly. Ed will be very quick to tell you that nobody can fly any of our airplanes without his permission.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that would make sense. I mean, it's your plane, so you don't. You don't want anybody in there that shouldn't be.
That's right.
And so Ed has to sign off on them and thinks that, okay, they can handle this and they're not going to ruin this loan, even though it's
keep in mind the barrier set kind of low because he did say I could fly them.
What do you mean? You? What, Dennis or me?
Yeah. No, yeah. Me. I've been checked out on the airplanes there, so clearly the bar is not set that high.
Okay. Well, I'm
going to have a talk with A.
Yeah, I was going to say. I thought Dennis's skills were pretty high. I mean, you've already flown with Ed, Dennis, and right. he signed off on you. So that's a good thing. He has confidence in you. He told me off the record, so to speak. You know, Dennis is pretty good. He did say that, and so I think you're good to go. So don't squander your skills like that.
Don't cut yourself short.
Yeah. Because
I was just setting myself up for a good dig here, you know.
You know, some people do that. That's a form of pride. You know that?
Yeah.
When you lower yourself down just so that some people can, you know, give you accolades. That's,
yeah.
That's a form of pride.
Well, that's what I do.
I was going to say, Greg's built a career around that.
That's radio gold.
I didn't go into this with that idea in mind, but that's what has evolved over time, yes.
Yes.
So, I think he's good to go, and your skills need to be very good because, you know, Dennis, I plan on flying with you, you know, over to the Bahamas, and you'll be the pilot in command, and I'll be the one, you know, sleeping in the backseat. Anyway.
And it'll be my airplane, so I definitely have an interest in keeping it in one piece.
Well, or it'll be Ed and Keese. We'll see. But back to this 172. So, obviously, it's a Cessna 172. It has a G1000 ADS-B in and out, too.
Correct.
So, I mean, this thing is equipped to the nines, really. That's about as tricked out as you can get one of those things,
well,
isn't it?
Yes and no. It's a 2005,
okay.
So it has the KAP-140 autopilot instead of the GFC-700, which is the integrated autopilot that the newer 172s have.
Okay.
But it's still okay. And it's not WAS-approved, so it can't do GPS approaches.
Hmm. Why is that?
So is the ADS-B then independent? It's not
correct.
Not easy. Okay.
Yeah.
So solution did you go with?
The transponder is WAS. The GPS, or the WAS is a GPS itself for the ADS-B in and out, but it's not tied into the G1000, so you can't actually do the LPV.
No LPV approaches.
Hmm.
So
is that a problem or not really for what you guys are going to use it for?
No. We could still do a lot of training in it.
Yeah.
But if we want to demonstrate an actual LPV approach, we just have to use one of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Well, I mean, is that something you could easily hook up?
Or no.
Easily is not the right word, right? It could be done, but it'd cost thousands, I'm guessing.
Correct.
So the plan is to take it as it is.
Right.
And use it how it... where'd you find it? Where was it a bargain or what?
It's actually on the field.
It was on the field at the airport, Orlando Executive, mm-hmm. And somebody just decided they were ready to go, and you guys said saw the for sale sign?
He's one of our customers.
Okay.
And he decided that he was going to, what really happened here was I've been flying with him for a while, doing some flight reviews and instrument proficiency checks and so forth with him,
mm-hmm.
And he decided that he was going to go to Oshkosh last year. Which he did.
Yeah.
And he lost his mind.
He lost his mind and bought another plane.
He did.
Ah, good man. That's really the goal of the people who put on Oshkosh.
It is.
And that happens more often than you think.
Yeah. So he ended up buying a brand new Cirrus, which he takes delivery of March 26th.
Mm-hmm. So this worked out pretty conveniently.
It worked out very convenient.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, I got to sell my airplane. Are you guys interested? You worked out a pretty decent deal for both the parties, and he gets his new plane and you get a new trainer.
And I worked out a deal with him since we wanted the airplane right away and didn't want to wait until March
mm-hmm.
or April to get it.
Yeah.
Worked out a deal that we'd take the airplane now, but we're going to let him fly it.
Right.
Until he gets his new airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Does Ed still have to sign him off on it?
He probably has already.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I mean, is he flying it that much anyway right now?
Not right now, no.
Yeah. So, I mean,
But he's getting anxious. He told me the other day he's getting anxious.
He wants to fly. How often does he fly every week, you figure?
He doesn't. Well, once every 2 weeks or so he goes out.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can just throw him in for an hour or two, let him go play,
mm-hmm.
and just schedule it out like that, and then you have it in the fleet, right?
Right.
Run on. So do we share the call letters, or is it too early to say that, or not a good plan?
November 422 Charlie Bravo.
Okay. So this will go into the fleet and training when? How early?
Tomorrow.
Really? That quick?
Mm-hmm.
So you literally came from the bank, signed the papers, closed the deal and everything, and it went smoothly or not so much? Because you were running a little late, so I'm guessing it didn't go at least as smoothly as you had hoped it would.
Well, they told me that they had everything there, but they didn't have everything. They were waiting on one document.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which document was that? Or
the registration.
Oh, you do need that.
You do need that.
We need to prove that this guy actually owns the plane that you're about to purchase.
Yes. So I wanted to have that, certainly because I wanted a temporary so we can put it into service tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you got a new plane. He's a happy camper, or at least a pilot.
Exactly.
Not a camper.
I'm a camper, too.
Yes. So. It's a little bit of everything. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I'm getting pretty good. Just trying to figure out these landings.
Increase altitude.
It always says it. No, I'm trying to land.
Terrain alert.
I know there's terrain. I'm trying to land on the terrain.
Terrain alert. Pull up.
I will not. I am my own person.
Pull up. Terrain alert. Pull up. Terrain alert.
Damn it.
Landing unsuccessful.
Yeah, I saw you, freaking dog!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is Milaw, Captain Keith, and Dennis today rounding out the crew. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about right now because Keith and Ed at Flight Training Professionals just got a new airplane. So they're giddy with excitement. I think you can hear it in Keith's voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you hear that giddiness? Dennis, you notice that in Keith's voice?
I did. Work?
I mean, he sounds like a proud new owner of an airplane.
This is about as giddy as I get.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, he's very even-keeled. That's what makes him a great flight instructor, because nothing riles him. You know, usually when you get a new airplane, Keith, people would be jumping up and down, I got a new airplane! I got a new airplane! You know, but that's not you. That's not your style.
Not me. No.
Yeah. I mean, you were like that when you got your Mooney, right, Dennis?
Yeah, we were talking about it for how many weeks?
Yes.
Ooh, I got a new plane.
Well, we're still talking about it.
We still talk about it.
It's been, you know, over 6 months and stuff. So, anyway.
It doesn't seem like it, though. It just seems like just a few weeks ago that we picked that up.
Yeah, you have to take a moment to celebrate such a thing, don't you? Or have you had so many of these purchases over the years, Keith, where they just don't faze you anymore?
I don't know. They just never have really fazed me. That's, yeah. It's a tool. It's not
a baby.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
I don't get that emotionally involved in those kinds of things.
I don't know. I got a feeling, Keith, that as soon as we get off the radio, you're going to go outside and scream, "It's mine!" You know, something really nutty.
And I have a feeling you are absolutely wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, I might do that
just to, you know.
Just to annoy me?
Just to annoy
my neighbors?
Yes.
Here at the next to the broadcast Oplex?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's make sure we get it on video. Anyway, okay, so he has a new plane. You went through the purchase process. They missed a thing, the registration. You needed
form.
That.
Yeah.
So you had to wait around at the bank for a little bit. But other than that, it went smoothly.
It did.
The transaction was pretty painless, mm-hmm. and fairly quick, it sounds like, too.
It was, yeah.
This hadn't been in the works that long, had it? Has it? Or no? You started talking to him how long ago?
We started this mid-December.
Okay.
The loan was approved within 48 hours.
Wow.
And technically speaking, it's only been 11 business days that it took him to get the whole thing done. Of course, we had Christmas, New Year's.
Sure, with all the holidays and everything.
The holidays and stuff in there. So
that's kind of slowed down the
process, but it only took him 11 days.
How about that? When you say them, was it your bank or his bank?
My bank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Our bank that we deal with the flight school.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Obviously, we're going to hear more about this plane as time goes on. Especially, you think this will be the plane that I would jump back in and learn in, possibly?
I'm not sure you can handle it, but we'll see.
Why? Oh, that's what I was training in before. Charlie Mike was a 172. What would be the difference?
That was only 160 horse engine. This is 180.
180.
And Charlie Mike still had the old school steam gauges, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a G1000.
Do you have one of those old school ones still?
No.
Well, so I would have to use something
you
like this.
You would have to use something like this, yes.
So what are you saying? Is just that personally you don't believe I can handle it?
I think it's going to take some time for you to get there. But you can handle it eventually.
But is there another plane that would be better suited for...
We have the ability to get you there, Greg.
Okay.
As long as you show up to the airport.
Well, there's that.
There's that.
Yeah. But it doesn't open until like 10 o'clock in the morning, right?
No, Greg, that's the time your alarm goes off.
True.
Well, let me just tell you this. I usually get there at 6 a.m. And
well, that's insane.
There's a lot of movement on the airport already at 6 a.m.
Yeah, but it doesn't really open till the sun gets warm around 10 a.m. or so.
Yeah, no. It's
it does open earlier than that?
Yeah.
Well, I'll trust you. You can.
Now, the control tower doesn't open until 7.
We'll see. Well, then, yeah, but they don't really get warmed up until 10. they'll be making all kinds of mistakes.
That depends. Sometimes they don't ever get warmed up.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, they haven't even had their morning coffee.
Yeah, we've had some interesting things lately.
Really?
Yeah.
But should we get into that a little bit later on?
If you want to.
Yeah, I think we should. But first, I want to go back to a little bit of what you mentioned with the guy who you bought the plane from, because he got a new Cirrus.
Yes.
Which was what? Is it a two- or a four-seater?
It's a four-seater.
Okay.
Actually, five.
A five-seater.
Five or six,
so he got a pretty decent... Which one?
The SR-22.
Okay. So that's a pretty meaty airplane, isn't it?
It's a very nice airplane.
It goes pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So he got one of those. It's obviously quite a jump up from a 172, like you're describing, I would imagine.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that thing will top out, what? It's over 200, isn't it?
Easy. No, they're about 175, 180.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're only that much. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's a totally different flying machine.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a stick instead of a yoke and all that kind of stuff, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But side stick.
Side stick, yes. So they look pretty awesome on the inside.
They do. And I've talked to people that say they really enjoy flying them.
Yeah.
And other people that say that flying with that side stick on the left is just, they just
feels
can't
weird.
Get used to it.
Really?
So he said he felt very comfortable with it. It's very natural for him.
Yeah. What when people say it's hard to get used to, what, just because they're used to the yoke in the middle and
right.
Just a hand-eye coordination kind of thing?
No, not even that, but it's, you know, with the yoke, you push and pull, and then you turn.
Yeah.
Kind of like the steering wheel in your car if right. you're going to do the ailerons. But this here, you know, you push and pull,
uh-huh.
and then you move it right or left. And mm-hmm. so you have to kind of roll your wrist to the left if you're going to make a left-hand turn.
Okay.
So crosswind landings, left crosswind landings can be a little bit difficult for some people, especially if they don't have full motion in their wrist.
Yeah. Well, for the record, I was really good at Donkey Kong back in the day with the, you know, the yoke kind of thing. So I think I would be perfectly suited for a Cirrus.
But you're right-handed.
I am, so.
So you'd have to do it with your left hand.
Well, that's okay.
So could you play Donkey Kong with your left hand? And be that
I
good?
Never really tried, oh, but I don't see why I couldn't. I mean, I get it. And I got high score many times. So even if I didn't get high score, it'd probably be enough to fly an airplane, don't you think?
I don't know. I never played Donkey Kong.
Really? Gosh, you haven't done squat, man. But regardless, if I were to buy a new Cirrus, I would go to the plant up. Where are they at again, Dennis?
Well, the factory is actually up in Duluth, Minnesota, but they now have a new delivery center in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
At the Tyson Airport.
And that's where the guy's going to pick up the plane, and they'll actually show him how to fly his airplane for like a three-day deal or something?
Correct. Yeah, when you buy a new Cirrus, you go through 3 days of factory training. So the factory instructors take you through and give you a full run-through on your airplane.
Yeah, systems, I was going to say a crash system. Course, but that isn't really
no.
what they prefer
It's a
to
full
call
systems
it.
Course, and they you do about 8 hours of flying in the airplane, 8 to 10 hours of flying in the airplane,
yeah,
including flying a simulator where you employ the chute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, definitely. I'm in. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. So Keith just got a new plane for flight training professionals to throw into the fleet. This makes plane what, number eight?
Number nine.
And there could be more to come.
Definitely more to come.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it went pretty smooth as far as the transaction is concerned. The guy's very happy. You got your stuff squared away with the bank. I don't know, Dennis, does this sound about the same way your process went when you got your Mooney? Or what do you think?
Yeah, it's similar. I was just kind of curious, since, you know, you're not going through a broker and, you know, looking at trade-a-plane ads. You bought it from somebody you know and know some history in it. Do you still wind up going through the same things that I did with the pre-purchase inspection and having the title checks done and all of that kind of extra paperwork? Mm,
good question.
Yeah, and the answer is yes to all. We've known the seller for quite some time. Like I said, he was a customer of ours. We've built a relationship with him. He's well known in the community, but we still went through the pre-purchase. And we actually found some things on the airplane that he wasn't aware of.
Really?
And because it's been a while. It's about 9 months since it had an annual.
Yeah.
And so we found a couple of things, and we went back to him and showed him what they were. And so we got those worked out. Things that he was absolutely not aware of at all whatsoever.
Hmm.
So
nothing major, I would imagine.
Nothing major.
Yeah.
But things that...
Typical maintenance, little things like that. Right.
That could, you know, if you're stretching to buy yourself an airplane, mm-hmm. and you're not going to have the money to do that, use it as a negotiating tool.
Sure.
And he had, you know, one of the things that a lot of people feel is that if I'm buying this, you know, people talk about their airplanes, they really enjoy their airplanes, or, you know, it's something that they kind of, you know, hold dear to their heart.
Sure. It's their new baby.
They don't want to offend somebody by saying, hey, I want to get a pre-purchase inspection done. And you shouldn't offend anybody. You know, no. They should welcome that, because you have taken care of it so well. They should welcome it. And this guy did. You know, there's no hard feelings there at all.
If they do take offense, that's a red flag.
That should be a red flag.
There you go. Good point. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
Oh, yeah. This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information, and then a bunch of stuff that has to do with just buying planes and enjoying what we love, which is flying them. And, you know, Keith has a new one that maybe eventually I will hop in the cockpit and learn to fly, too. I can't wait. I'm excited. Do I sound a little bit more amped up than usual?
We'd actually believe you now.
Well, trust me, it's just the caffeine in the Starbucks that I was drinking. But regardless, no, I am. I'm excited. I'm getting close. I'm feeling it. You know, I'm jonesing for flying again. So I see it coming sooner as opposed to later, finally. Keith is looking at me like, yeah, right, I've heard this before. I'm not falling for it. But it's the truth, I tell you. It's the truth this time.
This time, yeah.
Okay, we'll have to just
I got wait a bridge I'll sell you, Dennis. You're interested?
Nah, I think I've got two for sale already up here.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dennis's son, did he finish up his IFR training thing this week?
He's taking the check ride today.
He is doing it today.
So okay. I'm waiting to hear back.
All right, so next week we'll find out how far ahead he will be ahead of me.
Yep, because the next stop for him is commercial. And I still have to get my check ride done before him.
The race is between you two.
It's between us.
Yes.
I have a slight advantage in that I have all the requirements done already and the written test taken. It's just the weather has not been very favorable lately up here in the Great White North. It's either been too cold or snowing, and so I haven't been able to get out and get that last hour of flight instruction in and to get some more practice for myself.
Yeah. Could you put skis on that thing, on your Mooney? And fly around up there? You probably could, couldn't you?
I suppose you could, but I think it would really be a bad idea to put skis on a retractable gear airplane. But I know they've done it. I've seen pictures of DC-3s with skis on them. But at that point, you don't retract the gear.
I would think not.
But
I can just see, you know, you retract the gear and you hear clunk, clunk, clunk.
No, it'd be like a tow bar.
And then your skis don't come down.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
And a low-wing plane is really not well-suited. I mean, I just was reading a great article, I think it was in Flying Magazine, about ski flying up north, and they're one of the reasons you see most ski-equipped planes as tail draggers is because you want to keep that propeller way up out of the snow. And on a tricycle-type gear airplanes, you know, they land fairly level, and you get your propeller digging in, you know, potentially hitting snow drifts, and that gets to be expensive.
Yeah, and not good. For the airplane or
not
anything.
Good for the wallet.
The people inside the airplane. Yeah, I'm hip. But when it comes to buying a plane, like Keith just did and Dennis did, you know, early last year. And, you know, there are a few other things you need to take into account. We talked about the inspection and the fact that if you ask for an inspection before you buy the airplane, the guy should be, oh, yeah, no problem. They should expect that. They should be open to that. And if there's any hesitation whatsoever, that should be a big red flag. And you should run around. But people do this all the time. They see a good deal and trade a plane, and they buy the plane sight unseen. Does this happen, Keith?
Sometimes it's sight unseen. Sometimes they go see the airplane, but somebody's like, yeah, you don't need to do that. I know this guy. He's a good guy. He's taking good care of the airplane.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it.
That is not what you recommend.
Definitely not what I recommend.
Because even though you may not see it, maybe he's not aware of it, like the guy you bought your airplane from, there still could be little surprises in there that can hurt tremendously after you take ownership.
Yeah, there's two things that I highly recommend. And I don't say this just because I am an aircraft appraiser, but you really need to have somebody go through the logbooks of the airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, literally page by page, go through the logbooks and find out the history of that airplane. And then you want to have somebody who has not worked on the airplane before do your annual inspection or do your pre-purchase inspection.
Okay.
Because somebody who has worked on the airplane before, they're going to have a biased opinion. You know, they've signed it off before. They're going to sign it off. They're going to say, yeah, this is good.
I did this. So it has to be perfect.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So you want to have somebody who's, you know, not looked at the airplane before and who's got a completely unbiased opinion.
Got it. Now, what about, though, when it comes to looking for this stuff? You say you're an appraiser. Appraiser doesn't do that?
No.
Well, so what's the difference between an appraiser and just having...
The appraiser is going to go through... Appraiser should go through the logbooks page by page, and they should look at the airframe.
Okay.
Go out there, take a look at, make sure the doors are lined up correctly, make sure that the hinges all work, make sure that the
firewall
glass is good.
Doesn't have any crinkles.
Yeah. No, you're not going to actually open any cowlings or anything like that.
No mechanical stuff.
Not mechanical things, right. Mm-hmm. So that's why you want to get into the logbooks to find out.
But the appraiser does the logbook thing you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
He should.
He should. So yes. On this one, though, did you hire a separate appraiser or did you do it yourself?
We had to hire an appraiser because it would be a conflict of interest.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So we hired an appraiser too.
Is that a prerequisite from the bank? Or yes. It is. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So you don't
want to do what they call a desktop appraisal. A desktop appraisal, all they do is they just sit here and they go on a number of different websites.
Right.
And they compare it to all the other airplanes out there that have sold, and they never go through the logbooks. They never look at the airplane. They just mm-hmm. give you a value based on that.
So how do you know you have an armchair appraiser versus a real good appraiser, someone that you have a personal relationship with?
It would be that or the NAAA, the National Aircraft Appraisers Association.
Yeah.
Those guys are not allowed to go to do an appraisal without looking at the airplane and mm-hmm. going through the logbooks.
Okay.
That's part of what they do.
So if your appraiser is like a big fat guy, if he's never got up off his butt, would that be a red flag too, maybe?
That might be a red flag.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Or if they start asking you a list of everything that's on the airplane, that means they're not going to go out and look at it.
Hmm. That doesn't, lend itself to confidence in the purchase of your new ride. Well, interesting. Okay. Are those all the kind of things you did when you bought your Mooney, I'm assuming, Dennis, or what?
Yeah, I did everything except the appraisal.
You didn't do the appraisal.
I didn't get an appraisal done because I kind of did more of my own. I did what he would call an armchair appraisal, looking at, here's how much they want for this airplane.
Well, you ended up buying yours outright, though, didn't you?
Yeah. I also didn't need a loan on it, so that also helped. We were able to make the finances work and the price was low enough that I could afford to pay for it outright.
And that's great to do it that way. Mm-hmm. But you can still, what you can do if you're going to do something like that is have the maintenance guys that do the pre-purchase inspection go through the logbooks for you.
Well, unfortunately, the broker that we were buying this airplane through had already digitized all the logs. So I already had access to the logs in the, early on in the purchasing process. So I was able to go through and look for myself and verify that there was no gaps in history and that there were no major repairs, no damage history, things like that. So I felt pretty comfortable in the status of the airplane when I bought it. And then we had a very thorough pre-purchase and annual inspection that was done, which was also set up to be an off switch. If things popped up during that inspection, I could walk away from it with very little liability on either side.
Right, and that's exactly what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, digitized logbooks, though, is that typical?
A lot of people are starting to do that. A lot of brokers are starting to do that now, where they will take the logbooks and and scan them.
Scan them.
And
so you still have hard copy too, Dennis? Or
yes. Yeah, oh, okay. Absolutely. They're sitting under my desk right now.
I was going to say, I mean, does that count for the FAA? Or did you, I mean, they don't allow you to have a digital. That's just for convenience, right?
Yeah.
I got you.
The brokers use them to, you know, to give them to somebody else to look at them without having to give the logbooks out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the logbooks are a huge value of the aircraft.
I know. That's what I was saying. Yeah. So you still have to have the hard
copy.
But
in the event that you were to lose a logbook, if you did have a copy of it, it would certainly be less of a hit on your wallet because you can still prove, you know, that period, that gap is no longer there. You have a record of what was done, what parts were put on, who did the work, how many hours were done, et cetera.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you could, I mean, if you lost your logbook, could you just, you know, print out the copy? Would that still count? Yeah. So you're good to go. Yep. Interesting. So do you have a digital logbook of this new plane?
No.
Or will you have one? Do you guys do that kind of stuff too? Or don't bother?
No, we don't.
Because you keep the hard copies.
However, I will tell you that I have the logbook over at a previous maintenance facility.
Yeah.
Because the logbook entries were computerized and printed on with a thermal printer, and they're all beginning to fade. So I'm having them redo the entries.
Hmm. Well, there you go. It's the beauty of digital, I guess.
There you go.
The technology helping us out. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, you, I'm getting in the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform.
I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high, shawty. I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high, shawty. I be flying high. It take long to get this fly. If you ain't up on my level, disappear, please don't reply. Bye.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew today. By the way, Dennis is getting ready to equip his Mooney airplane with some new equipment from Apario. Is that right, Dennis?
Yep. In a matter of days here, we're going to get the ADS-B out and also ADS-B in through Apario's Stratus 2i, the internal version of the Stratus receiver.
Very nice. So you'll be all set to go. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Keith has his new 172, has ADS-B in and out. All the other planes have that too?
Not yet.
Really? So is that one of the only ones?
That'll be the only one in our fleet that has it, yes.
And that'll be good as far as the training, well as the necessity by 2020,
correct.
I guess, right?
Yeah, we're working on the other ones. We're working on some deals.
Some solutions.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, wait for Sonderfund and Oshkosh this year?
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. We're waiting for at least Sonderfund, because with the new certification, the Part 23 certification that the FAA came out with, there's going to be some things that are hopefully coming out at Sonderfund from different companies that will allow cheaper options to get that taken care of.
Well, there you go. And, of course, we'll be covering those on Just Plane Radio accordingly. And we got a few things up our sleeve that we're working on behind the scenes, so we'll see how that evolves. That might include Ed and Keith's planes, as well as Captain Dennis's equipment upgrade that he's going through with his Mooney. But that'll happen, you know, as the weeks progress over the next few months. But, you know, we got to cover at least one story in the news right now. You know, it's towards the end of the cycle, but this, you know, it was broadcast all over the world. And that would be that Turkish airplane that ran off the runway. And, it was all over the news networks, which is amazing. It actually cracked through all the presidential and political garbage that we're exposed to day in and day out. Because I guess it was just so dramatic looking, seeing that big old jet airliner hanging off
a cliff.
Yeah. And the video inside, the people screaming, go, oh, my God, let me out of here. And they're screaming like crazy. It was insane. So what the heck happened there, Keith? What is your thought?
Well, I certainly don't know what happened in that particular instance, but there have been airplanes that the nose wheel steering have done what called a hard over, where they just turn 90 degrees after landing. Airplanes, keep in mind, airplanes are not made for the ground. They're made for the air.
Right.
And so when you're either taking off or landing at a high rate of speed on the ground, something happens, you got very little time to react.
Now, I didn't know. Is that what happened? This airplane was landing and it ended up off the edge, or was it taken off?
It was landing.
It was landing. So yeah. You think that could have been one of the
potential? It could have been that. It could have been an engine that had a thrust reverser went on one engine but not on the other. Could have been an engine failure.
Yeah.
There could have been a lot of different
Could have been
things.
Like who's the captain from that L.A. to Vegas show? Who is it, Dennis? What's his name?
Captain Dave.
Captain Dave was drinking in the airport before he came back to L.A.?
No, it was just club soda.
It's a TV show, Keith. No. He doesn't watch TV, but it's a new one. It's pretty funny.
It's actually very funny, and it's right up all our listeners' alley,
yes,
I'm sure.
But pilot error? It could have been that, too.
It could have been pilot error.
We just don't know at this point, but the fact that it ended up off the cliff...
It could be brakes that hung up on one side and not on the other. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could have happened.
I don't know. What was the weather like when this happened? I couldn't really tell. Was it rainy and overcast? Did you see any of that stuff, Dennis, or no?
I didn't get the details on it. I mean, initially I thought that, oh, it's another one that went off the end of the runway. But when you saw the pictures, it was actually like in midfield. So it's like you suddenly took a left turn in the middle of the runway and went down the cliff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he turned left. No, right! You know, I wonder if that's what the cockpit
taxiway reporter. Was definitely to the right, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be.
What are the 135 operations that I worked for had a Brazilian go off the runway that way?
Really? What, because the pilot just turned the wrong way?
No, steering hard.
No, your other right. Your other right.
Steering hard, nose over, man. Just 90 degrees.
So, once again, what you're saying is that when it hits the runway, the nose gear just goes wiggy. And just
it could, it's not, you know, obviously,
but that's what you call that hard what
hard over, yeah.
And it could cause the plane just to go wobbly and turn one way or the other,
correct? It's an electronic signal that gets sent. And if you know, we all know what happens with electronics, you know,
yeah, they break,
yeah. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you have a signal that gets messed up somehow, somebody's got their cell phone on or something, you know, nose wheel steering goes
that's
crazy.
That's why we're not allowed
that's
to make
that's why
it.
You can't have. Good thing they didn't leave their tray table down, too.
Good point. Oh, that'd be the double whammy. So is that the excuse that you've given people that are still on their phone? You could cause the plane to end up in a ditch off the side of the runway, you idiot. Get off your phone!
Well, I said ditch, but I guess it could be a cliff.
It could be. Yeah, you know, where all the places...
Just a bigger ditch.
Yeah, Dennis and I want to fly. We have these obstacles. I mean, a lot of the runways out in the Caribbean, you better hit that runway, and you better not turn left or right and you know, off the runway when you're not supposed to, because you will end up just like that.
Yeah, I think Saba's not not going to be going anytime soon.
Yeah, Saba would be a perfect example.
Yes.
But you won't end up on the cliff, trust me. You'll end up way down.
Yes.
It's straight down off that runway there. But many of the Caribbean islands have those small little runways. If you you know, miss it one way or another, go one way or the other when you're not supposed to, you'll end up in the water for sure.
That's why you always have to be precise in your landings.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Remember, yeah, the runway behind you is awfully useless.
That's right.
Okay. Well, there's a...
aiming point method of landing. Get that nose aimed and stay there.
Right. Well, once you, landing is one thing, but then making sure you know where to go once you land is important, too.
Well, that's why you should always brief the approach.
Yeah.
Even if it's a visual approach, you should brief the approach and brief where you're going to exit the runway and which direction.
Okay. Well, words to fly by from Captain Keith. A good note to end it for this week. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
To fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.